when we were thinking about the solution, we were like, okay, it can't also just be a software tool because, yeah, software is great. And being someone, you know, who's built software for almost the past 10 years, it's like, yeah, it's helpful, but it doesn't, like, that doesn't, that's not the actual problem when it comes to why you are a bad boss. It's because you're missing a piece of software. It's more than that. Right.
Welcome to the People Stack Podcast, where we discuss the intersection of people, work, and technology. I'm your host, Jen Bunk. I am a career coach for tech managers and CEO of the People Stack. My guest for this episode is Claire Liu. She is CEO of Know Your Team. Welcome, Claire.
Thanks so much for having me, Jen. Appreciate it.
Yeah. The pleasure is all mine, Claire, and I'm really excited to learn about what's going on with you right now. I know there's been some exciting changes that have been happening in your life and in your business, but let's start with the basics, and then we'll talk more about that. A little bit of a, you know, whet the appetite there to start with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's first talk about Know Your Team. What is your mission and what is your role as CEO?
Totally. So Know Your Team is a piece of software that helps managers become better leaders. And so we give you educational guides that are based on data from over 15,000 people. We give you software tools to schedule one-on-one meetings, get feedback, give feedback, and create better rapport in your team. And then on top of that, we give you access to an online community with almost 1,000 managers. And the whole idea is combined that these resources help you to avoid becoming a bad boss, because no one ever sets out to become a terrible manager. And yet you have so many employees who will leave their jobs because their manager isn't good. And so we help you make sure that, hey, you're not making beginner leadership mistakes and that you can really grow as a leader. So that's what we do in terms of our software. In terms of my role as CEO, so I've been running Know Your Team for the past 4 years. We actually just very recently last week launched a brand new product and changed our name from Know Your Team to Know Your, or from Know Your Company to Know Your Team, and changed our business model. So happy to dive into all that too in a second, Jen. But in terms of my role as CEO, for me, I see myself as really the chief advocate in many ways for helping leaders become better. So I spend most of my time writing and researching this problem of how do you actually learn how to become a better leader. And prior to running Know Your Team, I actually started my own consulting practice working with CEOs. I had started a company before that. And then when I was in school, I'd also studied learning and organizational change. So from an academic perspective, from a consulting perspective, and now from a software perspective, just really integrating all those three approaches to helping leaders find ways to become better that don't require a ton of time, that don't require a ton of money, and most importantly, that actually work.
Mm-hmm. That's so exciting, and it's so needed as well. Sort of phrasing it, we want to avoid becoming bad bosses. Nobody intends to do that, but it's hard to do. It's hard to lead
well.
Oh,
totally. It is.
Yeah.
It really is, Jen. You know, I think when we all, each of us reflect on our own careers and you think back to, who's the worst boss I ever had? Usually when you think of that person, if you were to talk to them and ask them, hey, do you think you're a bad boss? 9 times out of 10, they'd be like, no, I think I'm, you know, I'm trying not to be, and I hopefully am not. So a lot of times we're actually completely oblivious to the fact that we're making unintended mistakes and taking actions that are unintentionally hurting our team. So our software is all about helping you not do those things.
Yeah. And we'll definitely dive into that. So there's two sort of avenues that I want to pick up on that you addressed in that first question. So number one, which I want to get to first, is the new product, the new business model, the new company name. Then we'll get to all the cool team building stuff.
Okay.
So congrats on all of that. That's huge. It's amazing and it's awesome. And what I'm curious about as a business owner, for my own self-edification, but also it's cool to hear about other people's journeys. What were the key distinctions that led you to make these big changes and these big decisions?
Absolutely. So first of all, share maybe, I think this will be helpful for context for folks who are listening, just some background information about what we used to do and then what caused the change, and then now what we do. So we originally were a software company called Know Your Company, and we were a piece of software that helped business owners with employees, with about 25 to 75 employees, get to know their company better. And so we were really focused on serving CEOs and founders. And the software, actually, it started as a prototype originally built by a company called Basecamp. So for those of you who are familiar mm-hmm. with Basecamp, they make one of the world's most popular project management software. And they had actually built this prototype called Know Your Company for themselves. And it ended up working so well for them, they decided to spin it out into its own separate company. And they actually asked me to become the CEO, and we had it become its own separate company. So just very odd, unconventional origin story there. But like I was saying, our focus and our audience of who the product served was business owners. The other thing that Know Your Company used to be is how much we charged for the product. So the product used to cost $100 per person one time. So not a subscription model, which is what a lot of software products are, but a pure one-time fee for life. Yeah. And we did this because we wanted originally the product to be very much about being a program where you buy it just once and then you get it for life. And it fit really in line with selling to CEOs of companies, and also fit really well in terms of helping a company think about more of a program of getting feedback. And we ran the company in this way, you know, for business owners with this one-time pricing model as Know Your Company for the past about 3 to 4 years. And it worked really, really well. We are a tiny bootstrap company with just two people, and we did over $1 million in revenue in a little over 2 years, completely bootstrapped. We serve over 15,000 people in 25 countries. I mean, everyone from Airbnb to Kickstarter to CEOs of retail stores and management consulting firms to accounting firms, the whole gamut. And people really love the product. They were seeing really incredible results. However, in the past year, something, or rather starting in 2017, something really interesting started to happen, Jen, which we noticed that, one, our traffic in terms of people who are reading our blog posts increased dramatically. So we actually saw it increase 20 times over the course of 6 months, which is pretty crazy. And we noticed, wow, the topics of leadership and management are just really resonating with people, and folks are finding what we write to be very, very helpful. Okay, so that's super interesting. The second thing that we noticed is in 2017, we also launched an online community separate from Know Your Company called The Water Cooler. And very quickly that became very successful too. And it was for managers who wanted to learn from other managers. And we had we had over 200 people join just in the first month. And then today we have almost 1,000 members that are a part of that. And so we thought, also super interesting. Our focus around helping managers become better is also getting a lot of traction. So we saw, okay, increase in audience by 20x, like really strong interest in the water cooler. But in terms of our sales, no change at all. And we were like, huh, this is really crazy. Our audience is growing by 20x and our sales are remaining flat. That's very odd. And what we realized is we had a mismatch in our audience, that our audience, the people who were reading about us and engaging in our community, were all managers, but their software that we were selling was actually for CEOs. Yep. And that our managers who were in our audience and who were part of our community were asking the question, how do I become a better leader? How do I avoid becoming a bad boss? And our software, Know Your Company at the time, did not answer that question. It was just really hyper-focused on team feedback. And so as I really reflected on how we could help people the most, and especially leaders the most, and that's, again, our mission from the beginning is how do we help people work in better work environments. And we realized we should be helping leaders answer this question. We should be helping managers figure out how to become better leaders. And what if we reimagined the product to do that? So what we did is this past year, we decided to create a brand new product. We called it Know Your Team. We decided to change our entire company name to be Know Your Team so that it would just be consistent and, again, focused on helping managers become better leaders. And then because of this change, we thought, you know what, we need to make the product also accessible to managers who might not even have access to the company budget and who just need to swipe their credit card really quickly. So why don't we change our business model too, to be a monthly subscription fee? So with Know Your Team, we charge just $65 per month. Mm-hmm. So that's what the change was. And we, again, were just really rooted in making this change based off deciding who we wanted to help and realizing that the people who were already coming to us looking for answers were asking this question, how do I become a better leader? And it was time that we actually answered it for them.
That's awesome. That is such a great story. And this is relatively recent, right? The launch of the new software is pretty new.
Last week, Jen. It is, you are catching me at a super fresh time. So,
I love that word. Not stressful, not overwhelming, fresh. I love it. Fresh. That's the way to look at it.
Fresh, totally. It's been a blast. We launched last Tuesday, and I actually had to give a talk in Chicago the following day and had scheduled that because I've done a lot of launches in the past in my career, and I was like, I know how they go, and this one's going to be, similar to them, and I know what the volume will be, and it'll be fine. And what was interesting is this launch actually, it made quite a splash. We were just slammed in the best way possible. And so in hindsight, it wasn't the best maybe idea to have flown to Chicago to give this talk the next day, but we've been busy. I will tell you that, Jen. Mm-hmm. We have been extremely busy in the best way.
But it sounds like the response has been amazing because you probably have had this group of followers who were kind of like chomping at the bit for something like, oh, wow, this is such great content. And then you went and delivered and probably over-delivered for some of them. And like, all right, this is totally. And like you said, you made it accessible for them. You thought about who they were. And so it sounds like it's gotten a really great response even in the last week. So that's awesome.
Thank you. I'm hoping. The problem too is such an interesting problem as well, because when you think about that question, like how do I become a better leader, right? It's like, what do you do to become a better leader? It's like, okay, you go and you buy books on Amazon, you maybe get a CEO coach, you maybe go talk to mentors, maybe you enroll in like a Vistage CEO peer group training program, like you go get your MBA, like what are all the things that you try to do? And you realize, okay, books are okay, like they're fine, but it's like, it's a book, like you can't actually apply it. And then you go talk to CEOs or you join mentor groups, and one, they're not always around, so it's just a one-time thing. A lot of times these programs are expensive. And again, it's like, how do you actually apply that knowledge? So when we were thinking about the solution, we were like, okay, it can't also just be a software tool, because software is great. And being someone, who's built software for almost the past 10 years, it's like, it's helpful, but it doesn't, that's not the actual problem when it comes to why you are a bad boss. It's because you're missing a piece of software.
That's
more than that.
Right. Oh, a soundbite right there. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That's a soundbite. Right.
Well,
I mean,
you,
and I cannot underline that enough, true. Right? That a piece of software is not going to solve your leadership problems.
Exactly. It's not. And so what we thought about is what is the solution? And our approach is, well, you have to first have a foundation of knowledge. So you do need to read some things and get educated. So that's why we give you our guides. It is helpful to have tools and to have software tools to save you time and to help you apply what you've learned. So that's what we do also in Know Your Team, is we give you these tools. And then the last thing, though, is you want some people to talk to, and not in like having to, spend hours on the phone or go fly to New York City and sit in, 3 days worth of meetings with CEOs. But what if you could just ping someone online? And so that's why we have that online community in Know Your Team, too. And so we really think it's that combination of education, software, community that can really help people become a better leader.
That's awesome. So let's talk more about the how, because that's the million-dollar question, right?
Of course.
So, and sort of riffing off of what you had just said, the education, the software, the community, in terms of education, what have you found most managers are missing?
Absolutely. So we, over the past 4 years in running Know Your Company, pulled together all this data from over 15,000 people, and we found that managers, the best managers, tend to be exceptional at three skills in particular. The first is building trust. So you have to build rapport in a team in order to move forward on anything. The second is to create context. So you obviously can't work well together unless people know what's going on. And so that's what the best managers do as well, is they really focus on creating context. And the last skill that the best managers are good at is communicating honestly. That if people aren't willing to tell you the truth and you can't figure out also what the truth is, then you can't make good decisions. So having a culture of feedback is extremely important. So what we did in the education part and with our written guides, we took each of these three skills, trust, context, and honesty. And we figured out what are the most practical, most common situations that managers are in so that we can help them learn about each of these areas. So right now we have 7 different guides on each of these areas. So we have a guide to building trust. We have a guide on sharing information so you can help you figure out how do I get everyone on the same page. We have a guide on giving feedback, getting feedback, on shifting culture, because that's also one of the most common situations a lot of new managers find themselves in. Yeah. And then we have a guide on one-on-one meetings, which is such an important tool to leverage if you're trying to build trust and create context and communicate honestly. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, we have a guide on foundations of leadership, which are just is just very much a primer to understanding, for example, what are the biggest things I need to be focusing my time on as a leader? How do I delegate? How do I fire someone? What are some of the bad habits that bad managers have that I need to look out for? So, so that's really for us our focus in not just the guides in Know Your Team, but also the software too, is how do you help managers develop the most important skills? Because obviously you need a lot of skills, but how do you help them develop those three skills in particular, trust, context, and honesty?
Okay, so those are the guides, and then the software helps them to apply it? Is that what
exactly
the idea is?
You got it, exactly. Okay. So for example, if you are you're using Know Your Team, what you can do is you can turn on tools that help you build trust. So for example, we have a tool that's called the Icebreaker, and that helps you introduce new employees to the team and helps build trust that way. We have a tool called Social Questions, which asks questions every Friday on, you know, fun things that are non-work related that also help you build trust in the team. Then we've got tools around context. So we have tools on something called the heartbeat question that you can turn on and help everyone get on the same page. And then honesty is probably the skill that we right now help you the most with, which is we have an amazing one-on-ones tool that helps you not just schedule one-on-ones, but actually come up with really, really effective agendas, questions to ask, and helps you prepare for those meetings. And so we give you hundreds of questions and agenda templates to choose from. And then we also give you what we call our culture questions tool. So you can turn on this tool, and we also give you hundreds of questions to ask to help you understand and get honest feedback from your team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you have the community as well,
exactly,
where everybody who's signed up for the membership can
exactly
talk with one another and support one another.
Oh, and it's, you know what, Jen, like when we launched that community originally, we were really skeptical because communities, first and foremost, are only as valuable as what people are willing to share.
Yeah.
So we weren't really sure how willing are managers who've never met each other face to face, who might even be working at competing firms, feel about sharing vulnerable situations,
yeah,
such as, you know, I've never fired someone before. How do you fire someone? Like, do you do it on a Monday? Do you do it on a Friday? Do you bring HR in the room? Like, what's the first sentence? How do you prepare for that? Or how do you think about running your all hands meeting? You know, how often do you do them? What's your agenda like? It's been amazing to see all the incredibly practical information from here's how we run our interview process to here's our employee handbook to here's how transparent we are with financials,
yeah,
in our company. And so that's been, I mean, I personally, just even as a CEO, have learned a lot being a part of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you have all of those things together, and that's really what helps people sort of take that action. I mean, we're very
Exactly.
action-oriented here at the People Stack as well, that you can't, like, absolutely agree. You can't just read a book. Some people are self-starters, and they're in, or if it's like you're
Sure.
super motivated, you can read a book and you can motivate yourself to do it and take the action that's necessary. But often life gets in the way. How do I do this? I don't understand. You know, how do I do it with my team? And so having that support and having the accountability, and then also like all of these cool tools along the way, because we love our tools, right?
Of
We love
course.
our
Oh,
software.
yes, we do.
So to even make it a little bit more fun along the way as well,
Right.
that sounds awesome.
Thank you.
So I want to get into a little bit more of maybe strategy. You know, I don't like to talk a lot about tactics and get too much in the weed because it varies too much from person to person. But I'm
Sure.
curious, are there overall strategies? High level, you know, systemic kinds of advice that you find yourself giving folks over and over again. They're like, oh, wow, that was really helpful. I never thought about it that way, in terms of the way that you're sharing information and the information that people find the most valuable.
Totally. So, I mean, where to start, Jen? You know, there's so much. I would say, recently, the one of the most common trends that I see in teams that managers struggle with, especially first-time managers, is a lot of managers are too nice. And folks who are listening to this might be like, "Wait, what do you, Claire? What are you suggesting? You know, I should be an asshole or like or a jerk or what are you talking about here?" And what I'm describing is that for a lot of managers, especially first-time managers, you're being promoted amongst a group of peers, people who are once your friends, people who you might gossip with over lunch yourself. And now all of a sudden, you're the person that they're reporting to. And it's a very interesting, peculiar dynamic to be in because when you're in the position, any sort of position in any group setting, your automatic default setting is to want to be liked, to want your decisions to be liked, and for you personally to be liked. So as a result, we try to get people to like us. So we're nice to them. We say nice things, we compliment them, we do favors for them, which is all great. And I'm not trying to say that managers shouldn't do that, but the problem that most managers and leaders I talk to is they optimize for being nice instead of optimizing for being fair, rigorous, or honest. And it really, really hurts them. So what happens for a lot of managers is they really struggle with telling their team the truth, telling their team, "Hey, I don't think we did this right." Or, "I really think you need to change your behavior," or, "You were short on this deadline and it really hurt us." And not being able to talk straight, not being able to do that third skill I mentioned on communicate honestly really well, means that the environment gets really toxic. It means that people who should have been fired and on the team don't get fired. It means that teammates, now they're seeing the example that, oh, okay, I can't really say, I have to say everything very, very diplomatically, like I can't be straightforward. Means that all of a sudden people are making mistakes and they're going unnoticed. The bar of quality gets lower and lower. So the effect of being nice at a company is actually disastrous. And I tell and recommend to managers all the time is to ask themselves, like, are you optimizing for being nice or are you optimizing for trying to do what's in the best interest of the team? And here's the thing, they're not always mutually exclusive. You can be kind, you can care, you can be compassionate towards your team, but or sorry, and at the same time, make sure that you're making decisions in the best interest of your team, rather than optimizing for, do I look good? Are they going to like me? Am I going to be seen as charismatic, right? And when we instead try to ask the question, am I actually doing something in the best interest of my team instead of will my team like me? Then the outcomes change. So that's probably most recently with so many managers and leaders that we work with, that's been the thing that's been top of mind.
Yeah, and that advice is gold. And that's something that we talk about with our clients a lot too. And it actually resonated with me as a coach, as well, because
Sure.
when you're coaching people, you can't do it to have people like you. It
course.
has to be what is in the best interest of the client. And coaching is a lot like, you know, when you think about a one-on-one, it's pretty much like a coaching kind of a relationship. And
Totally.
when I'm training our career coaches here at the People Stack, like one of the things that I talk about a lot, like as we're like going through and role playing and stuff, is like, you're entering the friend zone a little bit there. This is not your friend, right? I know, because it's easy to enter the friend zone and, you know, just to pretend that you're chatting and, you know, having a beer or a wine or your drink of choice, and you sort of go back to that frame because that's what's easy. That's what you know. You want them to like you. But right. like, oh, you're in the friend zone a little bit too much. Like, you got to get back into what's going to be the most valuable thing for them. You know, get more into the doctor zone. What would a doctor tell you? A doctor's not going to be like, oh, well, you're cool. That's fine. A doctor's going to tell you if you don't do this, you know, you're going to, you know, something bad's going to happen, right?
Totally.
That absolutely resonates. And I think that that's something that like people kind of know intellectually, but then don't realize that they might be moving into, especially when they're having a one-on-one or something like that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think as leaders, what we often forget is what is the purpose of our role? Is it to make people feel good, or is it to actually accomplish a goal together as a team?
That's right.
Because this is the reason why, Jen, I hate it when businesses and teams refer to themselves as family, because the purpose of a family is to cultivate love and to have an enjoyable environment where everyone feels good. That's the purpose of a family. The purpose of a team in a business is not that. The purpose of a team in a business is to actually accomplish something that you probably couldn't do as disparate parts. Like, that's the only reason you're coming together, is to be able to accomplish this bigger thing. And so because of that, your role as a leader isn't to make everyone feel good about it. Hopefully they can, and hopefully you can create an environment where they do, but it's not going to feel good all the time. Your purpose is to help them all together get that goal, because that's what everyone really wants. Like, that's why you're all working together, is to achieve whatever that thing is. And I think as leaders, we forget that that's our role, is to get the outcome. And the outcome isn't just for people to feel all good all the time.
Yeah, that's right. And it's hard to do, because our natural inclination as humans is to want to make people feel good and to make ourselves feel good in the process. And so it could feel a little weird in the beginning, but actually what I found anyway, my own personal journey has been like, in the beginning, it feels weird. Like, wow, I just asked a really hard question there. Like, I hope they don't think I'm, you know, a bitch for asking that. But then you realize, wow, you know what? That question really resonated. That question actually helped them. And then they come back. Maybe it's 2 days later. Maybe it's a month later. I mean, they say, wow, I really appreciated that. And you see the long-term effects of asking the hard questions, telling the hard truths, just like you talked about, that truth, the honesty, building the trust, adding to the context, and all of that is so important. That's, like I said, that's gold in terms of being too nice. It's about helping the team get to the outcome. That's the ultimate goal there. That's great. Hi, everyone. We'll get back to the interview in a jiffy. But first, are you a tech manager? In other words, do you lead teams of geeks through long-term complex projects? Do you feel like you're wasting precious time going to useless meetings, dealing with administrative nonsense, and working late nights? Are you working 50 plus hours a week, but don't have the salary to show for it? It doesn't need to be that way. You can build thriving, high-performing teams who produce a measurable positive impact while earning the premium salary you deserve. Oh, and you don't have to work your butt off to get there. If this sounds like the kind of success you're striving for, then go to jenbunk.com/webinar to reserve a spot in my free masterclass. I share the 4 shifts that my tech manager clients made to achieve badass career transformation. That's jenbunk.com/webinar. Without further ado, please enjoy the rest of the interview. So the other thing that I wanted to ask you about, Claire, is that I noticed that you're also an adjunct professor at Northwestern. And so, again, out of personal curiosity, because in my former life, I was an academic, I was a college professor.
Oh, awesome. Oh, great.
Yeah. So similar, a little bit of backgrounds there, the melding of the academic worlds and the, you know, the leadership coaching worlds, helping people with leadership worlds. But I'm curious, because I've definitely found this, but for you, how have you found that this role as professor and teacher has complemented your role as an entrepreneur?
Oh my goodness. I'm so glad you asked this question, because I think about it actually quite a bit and just haven't been able to really share. So I'll be unpacking stuff here in real time, Jen. I find it to be so influential and so much crossover between this role as professor and this role of entrepreneur. The biggest I would say is that anytime you have to explain something to someone or teach something to someone, you become so much more ingrained and deeper immersed in the subject matter itself. So for example, if I am teaching a lecture and giving a lecture on marketing and positioning, what it causes me to do is to re-examine how we actually position Know Your Team in the market. It causes me to question my own assumptions for why are we doing that? Why are we spending our time on that? Why, you know, have I thought about this approach in terms of communicating with our audience? And so it actually expands my knowledge as an entrepreneur and makes me a better entrepreneur, because I'm having to be so much more defensible about my own business. So love that. Felt like, yes, when I was teaching, you know, at Northwestern, and when I have class, I'm like, oh my gosh, can I afford the time to do this? But find that, and I'm sure you felt the same way. Yeah, but find that when you have to, you know, share with someone and pull back the curtain and go, this is how, as a founder, you should think about your financial model or your assumptions in your business or customer acquisition. Then you go, oh, I want, like, am I walking the talk here? Like, are we doing that with Know Your Team? So that's, I think, the biggest way. The second way that of how I see so much crossover and so much positive influence from being a professor carried over into my role as a founder is that when you are, at least for me and in our business, and this may not be applicable to all businesses, but for me, at least, as a founder, as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, I view myself very much as an educator for leaders, right? For our audience. Like I said, you asked me in one of the first questions of this podcast, Claire, what is your role as a CEO? And I said, very much like chief advocate, right? But maybe I should switch that word out for chief educator in many ways, which is like, I see my role as to teach, which is to gather information and teach and educate as many people as possible on how to actually solve this solution. And if I do that, yes, maybe they buy our software, maybe they become an actual customer, or maybe not. And that's fine too. But I think being a professor helps me hone that skill of how do you actually teach people? How do you help people become better at a thing? And with us and Know Your Team, we're trying to help teach people how to become better leaders. So if I can teach students in a classroom, here's how you become a better entrepreneur, or here's how you start a company. There's just so much connection there that I mean, if I wasn't a professor, I don't know if I would be pulling as many threads into our business of being so focused on teaching people.
Yeah, that's great. And I definitely agree from my personal experience, especially I hadn't thought about the am I walking the talk piece of it. It does kind of, in a good way, force a personal accountability I want to be able to give good case studies. I want to be able to be that really that advocate, but I want to do it with integrity. And in order to do that, need to actually be doing this. I need to actually be walking the talk.
Right. And I think, you know, there's like a common phrase that a lot of people say, which is that the best way to tell if you're an expert at something is to try to teach it and explain it to someone.
Yeah.
And I think that's so true. So if I, you know, if I'm running a business and I need to explain to someone, here's how you start and run a business, well, then it's going to force me to make sure that I'm really good at doing those things before I go and try to tell other people to do it this way. And so I so appreciate that process. And the other thing too that teaching does, and I don't know if you found this true for yourself, Jen, is that it causes a lot of self-reflection.
Yep.
So when you have to think about how to explain something, you go, well, why do I think that? Or what are the examples that other people would say to try to disprove this? And that kind of deliberate, intentional thinking about your business only serves the business. So I always appreciate that too.
Yeah, yeah. And definitely, if you really want to check to see if you truly understand something, teach it to somebody. And teach it to somebody who only has either a base level of knowledge or no knowledge about it whatsoever, because that's like, okay, I need to bring this down to a level, not dumb it down, because it's, you know, it's an intelligent person you're speaking with, right? But I need to meet that person where they are, and I need to explain it to them in a way that they're going to get and that they're then going to be able to apply in their own ways. I mean, that's one of the things that I share with our clients all the time. Like, I can explain, okay, here's three strategies that you can take to run one-on-ones better. Okay, that's fine. And you can go and do it a few times. That's great too. But can you run a workshop? Can you do a whole workshop on running better one-on-ones? Because that's, you can't just stand up there and say, here's three strategies I learned. That's not enough, right? You need to connect the dots. You need to go between the lines. So definitely. Yeah. So if anybody out there has that sort of teaching, you know, so they're that inclination towards wanting to teach and like, oh man, I don't know if it's worth it or not. It's not about the money. It's usually not very good pay. It's got to be, your heart's got to be in it. And it's got to be for these reasons that we're talking about. It really is it's not about the money kind of a thing. You're working toward, it's for your soul. Almost.
It totally is.
Yeah.
You're paying it forward. And so, I mean, the way that I actually thought about teaching, especially because Northwestern was my alma mater and it's where I graduated from. It's where I took an entrepreneurship class. It's in many ways the reason I decided to start my own company is because I met my co-founders of my very first company, you know, at Northwestern. So I very much saw it as paying it forward of, is there a way that I can give back to a community of people who've given so much to me?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. That's another really great benefit of it as well. So we have about 5 or 10 more minutes, Claire. So I want to move on to the last question. And this is the question that I ask all of my podcast guests. And this is for you. What is the biggest people-related challenge in your job?
Totally. So for me personally, and we run a very, very small company. Like I said, we're a two-person company supporting over 15,000 people all over the world. So we're a little bit unique. But for both myself and my business partner, our CTO, Daniel, I think the biggest challenge that we always run into is, are we working on the right thing? Or are we just being busy? And I think where you apply your time as a leader and as an individual contributor is potentially the single most important decision that you can make in order for your work to be what you want it to be. And I mean, this is not a new concept, by the way, by any means. I'm not sharing rocket science here. One of the sort of founders of management thinking, Peter Drucker, you know, has written extensively about this. And one of my favorite books ever is by him called The Effective Executive. And he talks about this, which is you are what you put your time into. And so as a leader, as a manager, as an individual contributor, if you are not working on what and putting your energy towards your highest use, if you are not working on the things of highest leverage, then you're not going to see the results that you want to see. And for us, as such a small company, to be extremely rigorous and discerning about that, it's everything. Because if we're small already, then the things that we need to be working on in order to get the results we want to see better be close to the right thing, if not absolutely the right thing. So for us, that's always the continual challenge, is that reflection and thinking around where are we putting our time, and is it really on the best things? So I think, yeah, so that's for us as a small team. Now, I think this is also, though, extremely applicable, Jen, for managers and individual contributors that are working at companies of all sizes and in all stages. So I run this leadership newsletter called The Heartbeat, where I interview a CEO, founder, or manager who I really admire every few weeks. And last year, I interviewed Michael Lopp, who is the VP of engineering at Slack. And Michael's greatest piece of advice that he shared in this interview is he said that the biggest mistake that leaders make is they're too busy. If you're busy as a leader, then you're not doing it right. Yeah. And his point was that you have to have the space and time to figure out what is most important to work on, to have the space and time to go and talk to people, to have the space and time to be deliberate with how you're using and applying your energy. And so I think for all of us as managers, just making sure that we know exactly what to be spending our time on, and that it's exactly our what our highest use is possibly one of the biggest challenges. And it's, again, it's a thing that we struggle with, and I think it's a thing that a lot of folks struggle with.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you there. The question becomes, and this is going to be individual, it's going to be based on the person, it's going to be based on the team, but the question, though, becomes how. So I'm curious if you have strategies, tactics, just overall principles that you use to decide how do we spend our time?
Absolutely. So from a strategic level, that's obviously going to vary case to case, right? Which is essentially deciding, in order to be at X place as a business, what are the things that we need to focus on, right? Whether it's the top one thing, two things, or three things. And then you decide whatever those actions are and put it all towards there. For us, it was building this new product, right? So that meant building the actual product. It meant the actual marketing of it, and then the distribution of it too, and deciding, well, the logistics of how it will actually roll out. And that's all we were focused on for the past 6 months. Mm-hmm. I think, though, one step lower than that, like a little bit more tactically, once you've figured out sort of the overall strategy of, okay, these are the three things that we need to be focused on, is being deliberate about carving out the time to do that. So what I would do is I would look at a single week and decide, okay, Mondays and Fridays, I'm going to have no meetings. And Mondays will pretty much be sort of like an agenda setting day. It will be sort of taking in everything that came in over the weekend, deciding what I need to work on for the week, and just having that day probably just to write and to focus on the content that we need to be producing. And so I'm not going to schedule any meetings for those days, right? Mm-hmm. Tuesdays are going to be all about marketing, building up the audience for the new product, right? Wednesdays are going to be all about building up our community. Thursdays are going to be actually focused on the product itself, and Friday is going to be big picture thinking, right? That's what I've decided. I'm just giving you an example, by the way. This changed quite a bit throughout the year, but just as a snapshot of very tactically, well, how do you make sure then that your time, like you were saying, the how of it, that it's actually going to where it is. And so just recording it, right? I mean, Peter Drucker recommends this, like take a week and actually jot down where your hours go. And once you decide and see that, then for me, just really blocking out those days very tactically was helpful for me to get there.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of the themed days. This is a new strategy that I'm using in our business. But it really does, like, if, you know, maybe somebody's sick, or somebody, you know, somebody's out, or you just don't have the energy to do everything in a given day. But like, if the theme of the day, like, we have one day where the theme is basically conversations. You know, it's about having more conversations with, you know, prospective clients, let's say. And so if it's like a low energy kind of day, as long as I have one conversation, whether it's like online or maybe it's in person, or even if it's asynchronous, like over email, then that's fine. I at least met the baseline for that day. So I'm a big fan of that. And also being deliberate, absolutely. Yeah. Being intentional about how you're going to use your time. Otherwise, it just happens to you, and you're just running around like, okay, what's next? Which can be fun.
I think, CEO of Basecamp, Jason Fried, who's also on our board, one thing that he said in the past is that you can either run your business or your business can run you.
Yeah.
And so it's up to you, right? And I think deciding where your time is going to go is how you can dictate which of the two situations you're going to find yourself in.
Yeah, absolutely. We're big fans of Jason Fried at the People's Stack. Definitely follow his suggestions and just the overall philosophy of, like, you don't have to be running around like a chicken with your head cut off. That actually, and along the lines of what Lop says all the time, you know, if you're too busy, you're doing it wrong. Similar that, like, actually give yourself that space to thrive. It's just, mm-hmm. it's so, so important. So thank you for bringing that up. I don't think that can be underlined enough, because so many people have the idea or the belief that in order to do it right and in order to do it well, you know, be a great leader, that I have to be, you know, overwhelmed, that I have to be stressed. But, like, the way that we look at it is, like, no, actually, you don't have to do that. You don't have to work your butt off. Actually, give your team that space to thrive as well. So I'm so glad you brought that up. It's so, so important.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we are just about done for the day, Claire. Thank you again for taking time out of your day. We know how important time is. So thank you for taking the time to chat today. It's been really, really great getting to know you. And I know our audience is going to find what you've shared really valuable.
Thank you so much, Jen. This is a blast.
Yeah. And just as a way of wrapping up, how can people find you online? What is the best place for people to find out more?
Totally. So if you want to follow along, I do a ton of writing on our Know Your Team blog. So it's knowyourteam.com/blog. You can find me on Twitter at Claire J. Lew, so CLAIREJLEW, and that's me on Twitter. And then, of course, you can always email me at claire@knowyourteam.com, too. And, yeah, those are the best ways to get in touch. And if anything about what I shared about our actual product resonated with you, if you're a manager who's like, yeah, I've read the management books and they're just really not cutting it, then definitely check out Know Your Team. We'd love for you to give our product a spin.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks again, Claire. It's been great chatting with you today.
Likewise. Thanks, Jen.